Words for Life today is by Pastor Rob Buckingham of Bayside Church in Cheltenham, here in the southern suburbs of Melbourne.
Jesus often taught of his building experience, and in this message I want us to look at Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 to 6. The title of this message is Planks and Sawdust. And this is a passage of scripture that is often misused, misunderstood and misquoted, and so I want to shed a little light on it for you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, Jesus said, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces." That last verse, by the way, looks like it doesn't fit, because Jesus has been talking about hypocrisy and judging and sawdust and planks, and then suddenly shifts a gear and starts talking about pigs and dogs, or pig dogs. And why? I'm going to explain that to you later in the message. Things that we're going to look at. Number one is do not judge. Number two is planks and sawdust. Number one, do not judge. Right here, Jesus says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's define this word judge. From the Greek word, it literally means to pick out by separating. Jesus here then talks about the same way and the same measure. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the original language, the Greek word is talking about cause and effect. In other words, every judgment you make will carry inevitable consequences for yourself. Because you can't judge, because in the same way that you judge, it's going to flow back. In fact, it's none of our business to judge the world. Jesus didn't come to judge it, nor should his church. Paul makes this abundantly clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are we not to judge those inside?" And I'll comment a bit more about that in just a moment. So he's talking about judging the same way and then the same measure. The Greek word here is metron. It's the word we get our English meter from. It literally means a measure, or a standard of measure. And so Jesus says here, with the standards that you use in judgment against another person or a group of people, that same standard is going to be used to measure you. It is the ultimate irony and hypocrisy for one imperfect human being to stand in judgment of another imperfect human being. That's the hypocrisy we see in John chapter 8, when these guys early one morning, while Jesus was teaching and preaching in the temple courts, and then these religious leaders turn up and they throw this woman down in front of Jesus, and they say to Jesus, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commands that she should be put to death. What do you reckon?" John records that they said that to test him. Now, what we've got to understand here is that these guys were not wrong, okay? They knew their Bibles. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. Very, very clear. You can read it any time you like. Very clear that if someone is caught in adultery, the adulterer and the adulteress should both be put to death. So I want to ask you two questions. Did they have the truth of the Bible on their side? The answer is yes, they did. Question two, were they living the truth of the Bible? Answer, no. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That statement, love your neighbor as yourself, is found in Scripture 8 times. In the book of James, I think it's chapter 2, verse 8, he refers to it as the royal law. The royal law means it is the greatest of all laws. In fact, Paul in Romans chapter 13 says it summarizes the entire Hebrew Scriptures. What we refer to as the Old Testament is summarized by that one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. So you can find individual verses and go, the Bible clearly says, but are you then living out the truth of the Bible by loving your neighbor as yourself? How do you want to be treated? The royal law, the golden rule, treat others like you would like to be them to treat you. And so we have to ask ourselves in our interaction with other people, how would I like people to treat me? And then we reciprocate. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be condemned. I don't want to be put down. I don't want to be separated out and picked on. How about you? So I'm going to treat others in that same way. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Jesus says, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Again, the entire Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. And so we have this woman down in front of Jesus. He knows the Scripture. He knows the Pharisees are right. He never argues that point with them. He doesn't say, well, I didn't mean that in Leviticus 20, verse 10. He just made a really, really good statement. Okay, those of you who have never sinned, you can throw the first stone. What a great answer. What amazing wisdom from the carpenter. And the Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, because the oldest knew that they'd sinned more, they dropped their rocks and they walked away. And there was just Jesus and the woman and the crowd of people that Jesus had been teaching. How embarrassing for her. And then he looked at her and he said, where are your accusers? And she said, I have none. Jesus said, neither do I accuse you or condemn you or judge you. I'm pretty sure it's the same word in the Greek. And then he said to her, go and sin no more. And I hear people use that statement. Understand this. Jesus was the only sinless man. He is the only person who is qualified to make that statement. Go and sin no more. The hypocrisy of a sinner telling another sinner not to sin. Jesus then illustrates this do not judge message by using a lesson from his own experience in Matthew chapter 7. His own experience as a carpenter. He uses this example of planks and sawdust. This is point number 2. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye, you hypocrite? Don't pull any punches, Jesus. Planks and sawdust. So growing up, working as a carpenter, he would have seen lots of planks and dealt with lots of sawdust. So the Bible actually says, get rid of your plank first, and then you'll see clearly. So there is a place where you can help and correct, but you have to deal with your own thing first. And so that's point 3. I can see clearly now. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, Jesus' command not to judge does not mean that we are to never disagree with someone's life choices. It doesn't mean that I just roll over and agree with everything so I'm not being judgmental. As the Apostle Paul wrote, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? Well, the answer is yes, but it depends how we do it. And I think we often get it wrong. And so there is a time when it's appropriate to help a fellow Christian to remove a speck of sawdust from their eye. But there's a few things that we've got to make sure are in place. And I'm going to finish this message just by quickly going through these points. Here's things to remember if you see somebody with a speck. Number 1, remove your plank first. Do not forget it. And that takes some really honest introspection. Not that we go on some sort of witch hunt to try and find, you know your mistakes and your failures. You know the obstacles in your life. And you know what you have to deal with. And so get rid of your own plank. Number two, ask for the person's permission. So if you've removed your plank and you see a brother or a sister, just say, look, you know, I've noticed this. Would it be okay if I came alongside you and helped you with this? And if they say yes, then you are invited and welcome to be part of a journey with that person. Number three, have the person's best interest at heart. This is really related to number two as well. You see, so often we judge because we've got something going on in our own life. And actually what annoys us about that person is actually pushing a button in me. I have to ask, okay, so what button is this pushing in Rob that this person's got this speck? It'll be my plank. But if you've befriended somebody and you've got that person's best interest at heart, you can say to them, in fact, you won't even need to use the words, but something like, I care for you and I want God's best for you. And they'll already know that because you're in friendship relationship with them. So that's number three. Number four, be humble, gentle and loving. We are to evaluate things according to the word of God, but we are never to condemn people with the word. Christians need to learn to express God's truth without being judgmental and condemning. We can feel strongly about something, but we must never be arrogant or lacking in compassion. James 2, 12 to 3 in the message, talk and act like a person expecting to be judged by the rule that sets us free. The rule that sets us free, as I mentioned earlier, is the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's so freeing. Because, you know, the people of Israel, under the old covenant, they had 613 laws. And so that was pretty binding. So Jesus comes along and the apostles reinforce this and they say, let's just boil it down to one word, shall we? Love. Because Romans 13, love does no evil to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law that sets us free. For if you refuse to act kindly, you can hardly expect to be treated kindly. Kind mercy wins over harsh judgment every time. Number five, make restoration your ultimate goal. And so when you're getting alongside someone and you're trying to help them with their speck, you've dealt with all of these other things first. Your ultimate goal with that person is not judging and condemning, it's restoration, it's restoring. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. The word caught there in the Greek is the same word as a fish caught in a net. So it's ensnared. It can't get out with its own strength. And we find people in that condition from time to time. And that's the time they need a spiritual person to get alongside them and to restore them gently. The net gets torn and broken and the restoring person comes and heals that net so that it's useful again. That's always our goal with people. Not to destroy the person. Not to demoralize them. Not to disempower them. But to get alongside them and say, hey, I see that you've been caught. Let me help you. Let me restore you gently. Let me bring you back to a place where you're useful and fit for the master's service again, just like a fishing net that's been mended. So important. Number six, leave room for the Holy Spirit. This out of all of them, I think, is really the most important thing. When we give our lives to Jesus, when we choose to become a follower of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us and he starts a lot of different work. The New Testament uses a word, sanctification. It's referring to the process of change that begins when you commit your life to Jesus Christ, when you choose to follow him, and he starts this process and he continues that process. Philippians 1:6 tells us until the day of Jesus Christ. Or until we die, whichever comes first. And so we are all, because we're followers of Jesus Christ, a process has begun on the inside of us. Isn't that right? I'm not the person I was when I committed my life to Christ as a 19-year-old. As soon as I got saved, he started doing some work. My number one problem was anger. And so he started doing some work on that. Sometimes it's so easy to pick on other stuff. How wrong that is. How easy it is to judge on externals. If only that person took off this, didn't wear that, blah, 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 blah. I still hear it today. And yet God wanted to do all this stuff on the inside of Rob Buckingham. My anger problem was a major deal, which I don't have anymore. Just don't push me too hard, right? So. And my depression and my addiction to drugs. Like, there was some major stuff that needed to be changed over the process of time. Well, we need to give room for the Holy Spirit. And we've got to get a revelation of that. Stop looking at the outside. Start getting around the person. Love the person. Hear their story and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do as and when he wants to do it. And then finally, be discerning. And that's what Jesus is talking about at the end here in Matthew 7, verse 6. Do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. What Jesus is teaching here is don't bother to correct those who won't listen to you. So be discerning. Some people aren't ready. Some people won't be corrected. They haven't got that far in their life yet. They haven't developed that wisdom. And so the last thing you should do with that person is to presume to bring any level of correction whatsoever. He said it's like throwing food to a wild dog. If you've ever come across a wild dog, they're scary. They're frightened and they're trying to scare you off. You might have food that you want to throw to the wild dog, but it will still growl at you to threaten you. You might have wonderful truth and healing grace to give to a person, but if they're not ready for it, don't go there. Same with pigs. Who would ever get pearls and put them in a pig's sty? I don't know, the pig isn't going to go up there and, oh, that's nice. Like pearls. You know? It's not going to happen. So you got pearls and you throw them to the pigs. The pigs, all they're going to do, they're looking for food and they've got mud and they're going to stomp them through. And you don't cast your pearls to people who aren't ready for them yet. And so let's be discerning. Disciples of Jesus are not to force their beliefs on those who won't receive them. Instead, we are called to be a compassionate community that corrects but never condemns its members. We are to carefully discern appropriate and inappropriate behavior, but never bring condemnation to another person. And we must make sure the focus is very much on ourselves, our plank, rather than someone else's sawdust. Amen. 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 Words for